As far back as I can remember, bridges have been part of the fabric of my life. Growing up outside of New York City, we had two ways to go into town. One was to take the Lincoln Tunnel, a wonderful marvel of engineering, but still, to a little boy, a big hole in the ground. The other option was the George Washington Bridge. I loved to go in by the bridge, always on the upper deck where I could see the great towers, the mighty cables. I could look down the Hudson and see the skyscrapers. To this day, that bridge is not only a physical structure, but it's part of my memories. It's part of my story. And so too with other bridges. The years passed by. I moved to New England. I lived in Boston, worked in Cambridge, and so I commuted to work on the Longfellow or Salt and Pepper Bridge. Years passed, I traveled. I'd go to California, and I always enjoyed seeing the Golden Gate Bridge in the early hours of the morning, seeing that mighty structure shrouded in fog. Life brought me here to the Upper Valley, and that now thankfully completed construction project known as Route 89, crossing the Connecticut River, became part of my daily routine as I would drive across it to bring my son to school in Vermont. Tower Bridge in London, something I was able to experience anew through the eyes of a six-year-old this past summer. I suspect you too have experiences of bridges. And maybe not just through traveling over them, but maybe through reading about them or seeing them in film. I suspect many of you have seen The Bridge on the River Kwai, that great movie with Alec Guinness and William Holden, an epic. And I must confess, a source of a fond childhood memory from those rainy days at summer camp, when a playful projectionist, having just shown us the part where the bridge is blown up, would run the reel in reverse. So a happy memory. I think of David McCullough's The Great Bridge, the story of the building of the Brooklyn Bridge. Mark Halperin's A Winter's Tale, which has the creation of a fantastic, magical bridge over the East River as a central plot point. There are bridges that exist in fiction and bridges that exist in history. And there are, of course, bridges that exist in both. One of those bridges is the Bridge of Spies, which some, I suspect, may recognize from reading John le Carré, and others may remember from news stories stretching from the 1960s through the 1980s. The Bridge of Spies, more mundanely known as the Gliniki Bridge, crossing the Hevel River between Berlin and Potsdam, was a connecting point between the American-controlled sector of West Berlin and the Soviet-dominated East Germany. And on four occasions, exchanges of spies and prisoners were arranged between East and West, starting in 1962 with Francis Gary Powers of U2 fame, and ending in 1986 with the Soviet dissident Anatoly Sharansky. I can only begin to imagine what these people experienced as they made their way to freedom, as they went home or to a new life. Perhaps it was a sense of joy or relief or deliverance. But as I imagine those feelings, I can't help but think of what that bridge represents. While it may be a path to a new life for some, it was also a sign of the fallen nature of our world. That this bridge needed to serve the purpose as a place for prisoner exchanges, highlighted the division between East and West, between the democratic capitalist West, between the communist autocratic East. And it is not meant to imply any moral equivalency between the two systems. But we cannot imagine that this was the kind of world that God wanted for God's children. We are called to be one people, to come together from different places. That can be hard for us to imagine. But we are given a glimpse of what that new creation looks like on the plain of Bethlehem. When those angels come down and they encounter the shepherds. Here we have a meeting of heaven and earth. It's not some kind of celestial invasion, nor is it an injection of holiness into a sin-filled world. But instead, it is an encounter, it is a meeting. And it is an instance when two wildly divergent ways of being, the celestial heavenly host and the dirty, smelly keepers of animals, are drawn together and united and are made one, joined together by their common calling to proclaim the good news, a Savior is born. That Savior, Jesus, the Christ child, the one who is fully human and fully divine, the place, the one where all of creation comes together, where all the threads of life are tied together, is a bridge. Indeed, is the ultimate bridge. Providing a way for us to move from alienation to reconciliation, from resignation to possibility, from brokenness to healing, from fear to hope, and from sin to grace. Jesus shows us a way. Jesus is the way into a new life, bringing us from the world that we have fashioned, with its bickering and its fighting and its anxiety, into the kingdom of God, that place that is filled with hope and grace and love. This is the place to which we are called. And so on this night, as we hear this call, and we think of this story that unfolded 2,000 years ago, we can rejoice that the story is not simply something from way back when, but something that is happening right now, right here, in this place. And so just as the shepherds and the angels received the news, a Savior is born, just as they were called to share that news, so too you and I receive the news, and so too you and I are called to be messengers, to share the good news with others. And so wherever we go when we leave this church tonight, I hope that our paths do take us by way of Bethlehem. And that in going there, We'll be open to traveling across the bridge that Jesus has made for us. So we can come to the place where we are ready to rejoice and proclaim the good news. For unto us this day, a child is born. This day, a Savior has come.